we're doing the Netivot Shalom on Parshat Vayera, and the Slonim Rebbe was explaining to us about the tests, the challenges, and about this world being a world of challenges. We'll dedicate our learning tonight to Sarah Chaya Batani HaKohen, and being that we have some new faces here, we'll explain again that the reason we learn Netivot Shalom, aside from the fact that it's a fantastic book, is that this is like the intro book to Hasidut. This is a book that explains all the basics, and on the one hand it has beautiful, beautiful thoughts. On the other hand, it explains things simply. It introduces us to concepts. So it was decided about a year ago that we'd be learning this. It started from a one-week excursion into Hasidut. We had a student who was leaving in a week. They thought he had a medical issue and he had to leave on emergency leave. So he came and said, maybe we'll do Netivot Shalom before I leave. So I figured, you know, he's leaving in 3 days. If this is what he wants, fine. Then it turned out he was okay and he stayed. But by then there was a huge group of guys that wanted the learning, and it's stuck ever since. So I hope you guys like it as much as your predecessors. We'll pick up where we left off last time. וביור העניין שרק בניסיון העקידה נאמר ואלוקים ניסה את אברהם ולא בשאר הניסיונות. So why is it that in spite of the fact that Avram had to stand up to 10 tests, Hashem only describes the test of the Akedah as a test? Why is it that only by the Akedah does it begin with "and God tested Avram"? Doesn't say that before his wife is abducted. Doesn't say that before there's a famine in Israel. Doesn't say that before God tells Avram, leave your family, go travel. So we could explain that by those who are so righteous, the issue of giving up their body is not something that's considered a test. Because to them, giving up their life is like taking on a new garment. You know, you take off your jacket, you put on a different jacket. In their minds, their life is about spiritual life, and so if the request is to do something that endangers their own life, that's not something that scares them. Shemachlifim et levush haguf belevush nefesh ruach unshama. If they are called upon to do something that risks their body, so then that's just a question as to whether they will have to change their garment, going from a physical body to nefesh ruach and neshama, in continuing their service of Hashem. Ve'im amru misirut nefesh ein hakavana limsirat haguf, shemsirat haguf la'Hashem yitbarach ein hachidush. But if our sages said that it requires misirut nefesh, giving over the soul, they don't mean giving up the body, because giving up the body to Hashem is not something new to them. Ela misirat nefesh, when we speak about misirat nefesh, we're talking about giving up life. Shiudim sorat nafsho la'Hashem yitbarach, that a Jew is willing to give his life to Hashem. We're not talking about the physical life. Al ken b'chol ha'nisyonot u'v'nisyon u'ur kastim lo k'tiva Elokim nisa et Avram. All other tests were tests that tested him physically. There's a threat that Nimrod wants to throw him into the fire. Doesn't say that God tested him. There's a test that he's going to endanger his life in traveling in enemy territory. He's going to endanger his life running after the four kings. Doesn't say that was a test, because there he was only endangering his body. Because all other tests, including being thrown into the furnace, they didn't have weight by him. He didn't view them as a test. Avraham Avinu said, you know, I'm here to accomplish a purpose in this life. If my purpose ends when I'm thrown into that furnace, fine. That's God's call. וכמו שהיה חוזר הרבי הצדיק רב לייזה בשם מרן הקדוש מקוברין זכותו הגן עלינו. And just like the holy Rebbe of Reb Lezer used to quote from the Rebbe from Kuvrin, וכי חידוש הוא שאברהם אבינו לא נשרף בכבשן האש. Yeah, this is a famous Hasidish line. The Rebbe from Kuvrin used to say, is it a chiddush? Is it a thing of wonderment that Avram wasn't burnt by the furnace? Ha chiddush hu shekivshan ha'esh lo nisraf me'esh ha'gdula me'avat Hashem shel Avram Avinu. the thing you have to wonder about is that Avram, with his burning love, is thrown into the furnace, and the furnace made it out alive. The furnace wasn't burnt by Avram. That's what the Chassid Shavi said. Rak v'nisayon, akeda nechshav l'nisayon. It's only when we come to the Akeda, where Avram is told, bind your son, only there do we find that it was a test. Mishum shaya nisayon banefesh. Because there, the test was about where is his soul. Ki ha'ikar ha'nisayon ha'itam sirut sha'ita l'Avram Avinu. The test was in Avram's dedication. Shebitchila amar lo ha'kadosh baruch hu ki v'yitzchak yikare lecha zara. Initially Hashem tells him, Yitzchak is your future. Hashem builds up Avram's hopes with Yitzchak. Shekol ha'mshech shelo v'kiyum am Yisrael yeh mi'yitzchak. And Avram's hopes for Yitzchak are spiritual hopes. The continuation of monotheism, the Jewish people, that's all in Yitzchak. And now God is telling him, bring him up for an Ola sacrifice, on one of the mountains I'll tell you. And here, Avram's spiritual world came into a contradiction. I've been building something, I'm 137 years old, God told me this is the future of my life's work, this is the future of monotheism, this is the Jewish people, and now, spiritually, this is all in danger. So from a spiritual perspective, Avram had a temptation to say, wait a second, I can't risk the world's future. The world needs Yitzchak. It wasn't, the question here wasn't the physical, the question here was, spiritually, Avram had a contradiction. Yeah, David.
So in the furnace, Avram had angels blowing on his feet. When he's walking to the Akeda, all he hears is from the Sefer HaKadosh. Doesn't hear from God or any good ministering angels. There's a huge difference between that. You got like celestial beings serving you. Doesn't matter what you're up at.
Wait. He didn't have anyone blowing at him until he hit the furnace. So you can't compare. The celestial beings appeared just like the Malach appeared when he was about to slaughter his son. They appeared when it was almost over. When they were holding him on the slab of stone, telling him, we're throwing you into the furnace, there were no celestial beings there. He thought he was dying. But when, and by the same token, when he headed to the mountain, he thought Yitzchak was dead. It's only when he hits the point of no return, where he's made his choice and he's about to die, that Hashem sends a malach to save him. It's only at the point of no return, where Yitzchak is all bound at the mountaintop and the knife is by his throat, that Hashem sends a malach to tell him stop. It's not different in that regard.
What I was trying to get at was this sense of loneliness.
He had it then too. God didn't talk to him. Nimrod says, bow to the idol. Where's the God you believe in?
Somebody to talk to.
He had no one to talk to.
He's got Nimrod to joke around with.
He had Yitzchak to joke around with. Yitzchak,
yeah,
to smile.
Yitzchak, Mr. Din, is a mopey face for 3 days.
No,
Nimrod,
Brenda, don't
least,
say that about Yitzchak.
We got a joke last night about pray to the fire. No, pray to the water. The water puts out fire. No, pray to clouds. Clouds carry the water. On and on until wind moves the clouds. Humans hold the wind. Pray to humans. And Nimrod says, oh, stop. You're just trying to confuse me. Bow down to the fire. At least there's like some interaction. Three days long, you got the three boys and Abraham and a donkey.
I know.
I was gonna actually make a Shrek joke, but no. It's a different story because at least when you have your enemy in front of you, at least with Nimrod you can fight it out. There's something to that you're able to engage outside just your mind.
Oh, no, I agree that maybe part of the idea that the Netivot Shalom is saying is that until this Nisayon, it was always an external force he was contending with. Here it was between him and God. Here Hashem told him, do this. It's not
even him and God. that. That's the problem with the Akedah, on the walk to the Akedah. It's just him and the Sejavit.
Okay. וכדית במדרש, שהיצר הרע בא לאברהם קודם הניסיון ואמר לו, זקן שוטה. So he quotes the Medrash that David was referring to, that the Yetzer Hara comes to Avram just before the test and tells him, old man, you've gone mad. איך ייתכן שאמר לך הקדוש ברוך הוא ועלהו לעולה? How could it be that God told you to sacrifice him? Avram, are you sure that was God talking? Maybe you've gone mad. הרי אתמול אמר לך כי ביצחק יקרא לך שרה. Don't you remember yesterday God promised you he's your future? אין זאת אלא שנדמה לך שהקדוש ברוך הוא ציווך כן. You imagined it, Avram. Think about it. Did it really happen? וזה היה ניסיון בנפש. This was a test within Avram. שאברהם אבינו עמד בו. Avram stood up to that כמו שהשיב לשטן, ואני ותומי אלך. Like Avram answers the Satan, he says, I go on a whole path with Hashem. What he said, I do. הנני הולך באמונה פשוטה. I'm going with simple faith. אם הקדוש ברוך הוא אמר לי אתה כך, אין זה ענייני מה אמר לי בעבר. If God now told me to do this, it's not my business to start questioning what you said. That's not my job. ומה יאמר לי בעתיד? I don't have to wonder, how's God going to reconcile this in the future? You have a question? You have a question. I don't have a question. I know what God wants of me now. וגם אצל כל יהודי, and here's the PowerPoint. And the same thing is true with every Jew. Ikar hanisayon hu banefesh. The prime test is within ourselves. I don't know the number of marriages that I saw going to pot, and the ones who destroyed it claimed they were doing it for the sake of heaven. The wife says, I'm not ready to make Aliyah, and the husband quotes to her all of Machon Meir and Merkaz Arav put together why they must make Aliyah. And then he calls me up and I say, you don't destroy your marriage to make Aliyah. He doesn't know what he's talking about, right? And so on. We often are faced with this internal contradiction. And that's what the Netivot Shalom says. The prime test that we have in life is the struggle within ourselves. Kidita shebishat nisayon natlim yehudi et kol madregotav venidmelo shu mushlach melifnei hakadosh baruch hu. Like we are taught that when a Jew is faced with a test, they put him down from all his levels. And he feels like God isn't with him. Like God isn't there. Suddenly he has to face life alone. שזהו ניסיון בנפש הקשה בניסיונות. That is a test from within. That is the most difficult test. That's Esther standing at the entranceway to Achashverosh. What happens? Chazal tell us the Shechina was with her. She's walking with the Shechina. She's about to save the Jewish people. She reaches the room just before Achashverosh and God leaves her. What did I do wrong? I know I'm going to a man that's going to commit adultery with me. But the chief rabbi told me to do this. My husband Mordechai told me to do this. I have to save the Jewish people. Esther pauses. At the moment she needs Hashem the most, Hashem isn't there for her. What does Esther say? Eli, Eli, lama azavtani. My strength, Hashem, why have you left me? The test in life is when we're facing the challenges and suddenly we get the feeling Hashem isn't even there. Like Esther, like Avraham Avinu, like David correctly pointed out, he has 3 days of silence, 3 days journey, and all he hears are reasons not to go, and challenges, and questions. And so that's why this test is introduced as a test. The other tests were external. There was an external challenge. This was the test because this was within. The od bichlan mesirut nefesh, and furthermore included in giving one's nefesh, the nezeshe mitnehig befol ki yudi umekayem kol mitzvot, the fact that a person behaves like a Jew, performs all the mitzvot, eino chidush legabei yudi shenolad lorim yudim mekibel lachinuch lazeh. That's not something new to someone who was born to Jewish parents and was taught to do all of this. אך העיקר אצל יהודי הוא מה שמוסר נפשו לעשות נחת רוח להשם יתברך בקיום רצונו יתברך. The main thing by a Jew is that he's willing to give up his nefesh to give nachas to his creator in doing his will, ואפילו בדברים שאין עליהם ציווי. And this is the next point which we're going to see is a running theme throughout the Netivot Shalom. We'll get to you in a second. Is the idea that we have the mitzvot, we have the things Hashem told us to do, and then we have the things that doesn't say you have to do. There's no commandment to perform. And when a person says, I want to do that, I want to go beyond what it says, I know that this is what Hashem wants of me, and so I'm going to do that. שבזאת מוכיח יהודי, in doing that a Jew proves, כי עבודתו היא בבחינת פנים אתם לשם לוקחים, that his service of Hashem is like a son. Sometimes we're described as servants, sometimes as sons. A son thinks, what can I do to make my parents happy? He doesn't just say, well, my dad asked me to get him a newspaper. He says, gee, I know my father likes this ice cream too. I know that my father would rather I take the newspaper from the bottom of the pile that no one touched before. He thinks beyond what he was asked to do. שמסור בכל ליבו לעשות רצון אביו שבשמיים, that he has given over his whole heart to do the will of his Father in heaven. וכמו שביור עניינו המיוחד של ניסיון העקידה, and just as the uniqueness of the עקידה is explained by the Ran, על פי דברי הרן, שהקדוש ברוך הוא לא ציווה את אברהם. God didn't command Avraham and tell him to take Yitzchak. What does it say in the beginning of the Akedah? Hashem says, "Ela amar lo kach na." God says to Avram, "Could you please take Yitzchak?" The word "please" indicates you could say no. So now Avram is left with two options. He knows what God wants of him, but he also knows that God gave him an out. She'eini mitzavcha al zot. Hashem says, "I'm not commanding you. I'm not telling you must." Akayem rutzeim ta'aseh zot. But I will be pleased if you do it. V'zeu ikar hanisayon. And that was the main test here. Hamsirut nefesh la'asot nachat ruach lifnei Hashem yitbarach. Very often, we know what Hashem wants of us, but we know we don't have to do it. I don't have to. Think about it. There are many things. You say, well, am I a bad person if I don't do it? But the question is my goal to fulfill my duty, or am I like a son that wants to do what I know God wants of me? וכמו שפרשו רבותינו הקדושים זכותם יגן עלינו, just as our teachers taught us, and I think we'll end with this paragraph, the verse says, היום יעמיד במשפט כל יצורי עולמים עם כבנים עם כעבדים. We say in prayer on Rosh Hashanah, today Hashem brings to justice, to judgment, all things that were created in the world, be it like sons, be it like servants. Shal ze gufa mishpat. That this is what God is judging on Rosh Hashanah. Im im kebanim o kavadim. God looks at us and says, okay, how do you live out this year? Were you behaving like a servant? You did the minimum. You know, there's a saying that says, the boss wants to get the maximum he can for the minimum amount of pay. And the worker wants to do the minimum amount of work to get the maximum amount of pay. Everyone's looking to get the most and do the least. So Hashem looks at us and says, how'd you live out the year? Like sons or like slaves? V'ayinu shegam im yehudi mekayem et kol ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvot, meaning even if a Jew performs all of the Torah and mitzvot, adayin ein zeh ela ka'avadim, that could still be he's behaving like a servant. Ha'im kamim et asher adonam mitzavim, so they listen to what the master commands. Aval ha-ma'ala ha'ikarit, but the prime stature which we can attain, when a person behaves like a son, שומד בכל הניסיונות, he stands up to all the tests, אף אלו שאינם קשורים לציוויים מפורשים, even though there's no direct commandment. Does anyone look if you called your parents to wish them a good Shabbos? It's a mitzvah, let's keep it aveim. And when your mother has a birthday, if you called, you didn't call, it's a mitzvah, let's keep it aveim. And if you sent a postcard, it's a mitzvah, you did it. Did you sin if you didn't do it? No. But you did a mitzvah if you did. And there are a myriad of things that way. It's a question of, is a person just looking to get away with it? Did I do what I had to? Or is a person looking to lead the life that the way Hashem wants us to lead our lives? person walks out in the middle of a speech. He has to go to the bathroom. It's legitimate. Does he take a second to make sure the door doesn't slam behind him? He doesn't have to. Everyone knows. People sometimes have to leave the room. There's nothing wrong with it. The question is, where are his thoughts? That I've done mine, or his thoughts are, let me do the best I can? When a person takes the time and the effort to go beyond the call of duty, that's what shows his love. Shoved lo yitbarach kevin laviv, that he's like a son to his father. And certainly, when a Jew has to deal with challenges and things that are painful, and in spite of that, he accepts it with love. Sheze moral beirut emunato, shakol ma'ashem yitbarach aviv rachaman. That proves how clear his faith is, that he accepts that everything is coming from Hashem and that Hashem is our merciful Father. That's not easy. That's Avram being told, take your son, and being challenged with the thought, I could say no, but Hashem told me he wants yes. Hashem says he wants me to do it, but I don't have to do it. So if I could say no, and it seems to contradict everything I've thought until now, do I stop and say, well, God, this doesn't fit into my understanding of what you want of me in life? Or do I say, no, this is what God told me now, so this is what he wants. There was once a guy here in Machon Meir who went to the Aliyah office, and they sent him to the army, and he went to the army, and the general tells him, you've been in the country for 3 years, according to our books, at your age, you're too old, we don't want you, go down to this and this office, and they'll give you the letter telling you that the army isn't interested in you, and you're free, if we'll ever need you, you're in the reserves. But don't expect a phone call. So he goes down to the office, and he's sitting and waiting, and as he's waiting, he sees nothing's happening, and after 20 minutes, a half hour, he goes over to the secretary and says, I was told to come down here, do you think it's going to be ready soon? She says, you don't worry, we're going to have everything ready for you. You just sit there after everything you've done. So he thinks, uh-oh, what did I do? So he says to her, what do you mean after everything I've done? So she says, let's not play games. The van is on its way here, and you sit there and wait. So he says, what van? What are you talking about? She says, look, I don't have time and patience. You're going to go and sit in prison for what you've done, and the van is going to come and take you, and don't you dare budge from that bench. So he says, lady, I don't know. They sent me down here to get the papers. They told me that they don't want me in the army. I don't know what van, I don't know what prison, I don't know what you're talking about. So the lady says, I don't have time for these games. Sit and wait. So he's sitting there and he's thinking, and I'm telling you the story the way he said it to me. He's thinking, okay, was the general joking at me when he told me to go down and get papers and that they don't want me? So I asked him, what were you thinking when that happened to you? When they're telling you that the van is on its way? He said to me, I was thinking, A, do I get one phone call to tell my wife I'm not going to be home for supper? B, I was thinking, what does God have planned for me? I thought he wanted me to learn Machon Meir. Now I see that it looks like I'm going to end up in prison. I don't even know what I did wrong. So I was like, I did my best. And now I'm sitting here, and I don't know what I could do, but let's see what God has in mind. Let's see. I know I didn't do anything, but I also know that something here is going wrong. So I think that that attitude is an attitude that a person has to learn to adopt. Avraham Avinu says, I don't know how this is going to play out. We don't always have to have the solutions in the end. If I've done the maximum, and now God has placed me in a scenario where there's nothing I can do, but I know what God wants of me here, and I don't know how what's right is going to come out of it. So once I know what's right, I have to do what's right, and we'll see what the repercussions are. A guy called me last year, end of last year. I gotta finish that story. Yeah. Okay.
Did
I was wondering if anyone would say anything. I was teasing you, I'm sorry. So finally he tells her, I think there's misunderstanding. Let me go up to the general just to make sure, because he sent me down here. He runs up to the general and he says, were you joking when you said you're giving me papers? He says, no, I wasn't joking. So he says, well, they're telling me they're sending me to jail. What did I do? So the general says, no, 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 they got you confused. Don't let them send you to jail. So he says, well, I don't have a say in the matter. He knows this is the army. What do you mean, don't let them send you? He says, okay, I'm coming down with you. So the general comes down with him and he says to the girl, you know, this is a guy who just needs this and this papers. So she says, isn't he the guy going to jail? So he says, no. Where's the guy going to jail? I don't know, but it's not him. Ah, so we won't send him to jail. Fine. So, right. I, you guys have to know the story. There was a guy who called the end of last year. He was in a position working. And
position?
He was in a position. He had a certain position. He had a boss. And his boss had the top boss. Like, he had a manager and then the boss. And the manager had told him to do A, B, and C, and he did it. And then the boss found out that he had done through the year, he had done all kinds of things, and then the boss calls him in for a meeting towards the end of the year and says, why'd you do A, and why'd you do B, and why'd you do C? So the guy says, well, I set up everything with the manager. And he says, no, you didn't. I work with the manager one-on-one, and the manager, you've been doing everything wrong. And the guy tries to explain, and he's getting nowhere. So he called up, and I'm skipping a lot of details, and he asked, is he allowed to go to the boss and say, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. The manager told me to do everything you're upset at me for. And without going into all the details of the shaila, it turned out that halachically he couldn't. So he said to me, you understand, I might lose my job in order to not say lashon hara so that he doesn't lose his job. So I said, yeah, let's get a second opinion. I went to my teachers, and they agreed that in that scenario, he couldn't say anything. He would cause the other guy to lose his job, and he had to risk his own job, his own hide, and not cause someone else to lose his job. So I felt very bad at that conclusion. And the guy said, what attitude am I supposed to have now that I don't know if I have a job in a month? So I said to him, you're supposed to have the attitude that we didn't choose these laws. Hashem told us how we're supposed to lead moral lives. And you now have the obligation, or you could view it as opportunity, to fulfill halacha that most people don't have an opportunity to fulfill. And if they do have the opportunity, most people won't stand up to the challenge. And Bezat Hashem, you will. And he's got a family with kids to feed, and you've got a family with kids to feed. We'll do our best to find you another job. I can't promise anything, but I'll definitely do my best to work with you to find another job. But this is halacha. What choice do you have? The guy did, according to halacha. And because he... So I'm calling him like every week, asking him, are you fired or hired? Where are you holding? Like, to make a long story short, this year he has a much better position. He would have never had he opened his mouth and said what he wasn't allowed to say. Not all stories have such a quick, happy ending. In life, the challenge is that sometimes you do what's right, and the product seems to be what's wrong. I can't promise you guys that the results are happy. When Avram does what's right and goes to Canaan, he's faced with a famine. Then he has to travel down to Egypt, and his wife is abducted. You know, step after step, he does what's right, and the product seems to be what's wrong. But I think the attitude that the Netivot Shalom is teaching us, that we don't have to second guess God. There are instances in life where it's clear, this is what we have to do, and when it's clear, then we have to say, okay, I did what was right, and I'm going to do what's right, and then I will have to put the pieces together, however they land. Bezrat Hashem, if Hashem gave me this mitzvah, so now Hashem is going to help me, Bezrat Hashem, to make it work. And I don't know how. Avram didn't have an answer when Hashem told him about the Akedah. If you would have asked Avram the day after the Akedah, what will be with the Jewish people? Avram didn't have an answer. Avram couldn't know what would be. Avram knew, I'm going to do my best. And all along, Avram davened that it should work out differently. And Avram's prayers were answered. But at the end of the day, Avram stepped up to the plate saying, I'm going to do what's right. And I think that's the lesson we learn from the Netivot Shalom. And if you guys think about it a little bit, you'll see how important this lesson is. And this is a lesson for Jew and non-Jew alike. You know, if Schindler would have thought, what will be if I get caught? What will be with my family and my hide? He could have stayed at home and not done what he did. And throughout history, the giants of history, and we see it from Avram onward, the giants of history were the people who said, at this moment in time, I have to do what's right. And wherever the chips fall, I'll know I did what was right. It's not an easy call, but it's a call that every person has the opportunities in his life to stand up to. And that was the other message of the Netivot Shalom. This isn't only about Avraham Avinu. It's about each and every one of us in our lives. I want to add one more point, and that is that it pays to consult with a rabbi. Sometimes people are willing to give up their lives for shtuyot, you know, for things that are wrong. Just because a person is willing to be zealous doesn't mean he's right. You do have to verify that you're fighting a just cause. But at the end of the day, when it is clear what's right, then it's our obligation, it's our responsibility to stand up and do what's right. Yeah, David.
So this would be a much easier pill to swallow if we all lived in a vacuum, and we don't. So in this case, with the gentleman trying to get a new job, I assume he got fired, correct?
Nope.
No?
He got transferred to a much better position.
People don't act within a vacuum. There's other people involved.
So was Yitzhak involved in that Akedah.
And the thing is...
And Sarah. And Sarah lost her life over it.
The thing is that with the fiery furnace... The reason I didn't say to be like a heretical person, the mopey face kind of thing. I said that for a good reason. There's a huge similarity between the fiery furnace and the Akedah. Abraham at the fiery furnace is trying to win over his father and his brother. And his brother...
Who said that? Where'd you get that from?
This is we can check out the midrash later, but he might not be trying to, but his brother and his father are there. And he ends up winning over his brother, and his brother says, hey, I believe in this God. His brother says, if I will side with who comes out on top of this discussion. If Nimrod wins, I side with Nimrod. If Abraham wins, I side with Abraham. Abraham won the discussion. So his brother, I think Nahor, jumps in the fiery furnace and dies because he didn't actually have faith. He was just betting on the horse that wins. So in this case where Abraham is trying to win over somebody in his family, and that guy dies.
Who said he was trying? When you show me a medrash that says that, then we'll discuss it.
Whether or not he's trying, there's still a family member or two in his presence who are older than him. In the second case, there's two family members who are younger than him. And the reason why I said the mopey face comment is because for 3 days, we got... We got Abraham walking with the two kids who think they're going to be... two guys who think they're going to be the heirs to the throne... When Lil Yitzhak gets killed, Eliezer walking there. He doesn't believe in anything. I'm the like spiritual descendant. Ishmael says I'm his son. Eliezer is came in he got him later on. So Yitzhak is walking like with the two guys who are gonna take his spot when he dies, and he knows something's up. As soon as they leave the other two boys, his like brothers, as it were, that's when he asks Aram, oh, what's going on? Where's the goat? He says, we'll get a sheep later. There's no call out. It's like it's the opposite thing.
Why is it bouncing?
Because in the first case, older family member, second case, younger family member. First case, he's trying to win somebody over.
You said, yeah.
To some effect, it doesn't really matter if he's trying or not. He has the capability to.
Okay.
He has the... And in the second case, he already has these guys, these three boys, who are his loyal and devoted followers. He doesn't need to convince anybody of anything, and he doesn't even have the ability to convince anybody of anything further than he already has.
What's the question?
It's not... It's...
Just a statement. Okay.
No. I kind of would like an explanation from the Rav, but it just the fact that we don't live in a vacuum, it's not the same each way. The two.
Okay. They're not the same. Granted.
I just wanted the Rav to speak on it. I thought I'd be able to say it quicker than I did.
Okay. Okay.